B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Close to a bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Whoa, Ember's the color of your energy. Whoa, Ember's the color of your energy. 311 is not good band. Informer, you know Daddy told me I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said Daddy miss no miss someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down. Informer, you know Daddy told me I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said Daddy miss no miss someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down.
Cool Runnings.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Hopefully everyone had a tremendous weekend.
You know, did you hear that snow? It's funny, we just played that thing of David Prospect doing snow. Snow has a hit on the radio right now. Like a hit on the radio. He's doing a song with Daddy Yankee.
Oh, Daddy Yankee.
And it is...
You can't escape Daddy Yankee.
It's a riff on Informer, but they changed the words, but they brought Snow on to do, like, the part of it, like the chorus. He raps it along with it, but I think it's like a top 10 hit right now. It's a very... I heard it, I was like, is this like a... Because it sounds like a Latin version of Informer, because the guy's, you know, singing in Spanish for a lot of it, and it ends up that it's that guy Daddy Yankee and Snow like doing a collaboration, but it's actually a big song right now. So good for him getting a paycheck. How about that?
Yeah, apparently he has respect in the Canadian rap community.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I know
how difficult is that exactly?
Is he Canadian? I know he's Canadian.
Yes, he is Canadian, and there is a West Indian population there that I am. I've been told that he is very famous in.
So it's him and Drake.
I don't think he's embraced Canada that much. Drake just said, I was on Degrassi Junior High, and that's all you need out of me.
He's Mr. Toronto Raptors, though.
Yeah, he's part owner, I think.
Yeah, which is funny, because when he was talking to other players and stuff, just like on the other, they were accusing him of tampering.
Right.
I believe. That became somewhat of an issue. He wasn't allowed to do that anymore.
Well, my son listens to Drake, and I can't figure it out. It's all sounds like mumble rap to me. Very emotional. Rap is very emotional now. A lot of talk of suicide, a lot of talk of depression, very confessional, and in no way clever. So I've become an old man, very feisty about it.
Concalma, that's the name of the hit right now. With Daddy Yankee and Snow, and it is a hit. Concalma, and then they say words that aren't the actual Snow lyrics.
Well, it sounds like it's really up there with the great songs of all time. That they've just redone Informer.
The new version of The Message.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like how just, oh my goodness gracious. I just clicked on the YouTube video for it. Take a guess how many views the Snow and Daddy Yankee song has.
5 million.
Oh, no. Higher.
100 million.
Higher. Half a billion. 568 million views.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a top 40 hit in America that's also a crossover into the Latin side of things, like the song that Justin Bieber did, what was the big hit that he did? Despacito. Like, if you have a crossover like that, you sell so many singles. You have so many downloads. I mean, I think that might hold the record, Despacito, for the most YouTube video views of all time.
Well, at least it should. If there's a God,
I mean, listen, when you put that much talent in one song together.
I mean, you know, you have to do that. Well, that's why Wallach's a big Pitbull guy. Is that he likes that the melding of the
he's Mr. Worldwide
community and also the non-Hispanic community. He loves it. You still running around to
still Pitbull? Running to it. Yep.
Which songs?
Every once in a while, it's still. What is it? I actually did Fireball 2 weeks ago just for you guys. I'm like, I'm gonna put it on. I'm gonna run to it. Usually it's bad.
I don't know how that affects
Fireball.
Richard.
Yeah, yep. That's the first mile. This is where you warm up. This is where you get into your groove when you're running.
When you were in South Beach, when you were in Miami, did you run?
I did. Not to this. It would have been perfect if I had, but I didn't.
Not to this. No, you just got out. How long did you run?
Only a couple miles along the water and back.
A couple miles. It's impressive.
Not bad. Miles.
And I'm thinking. He just stopped me and said, hey, mate, biggest room in the world is room for improvement.
Yeah, that's right, Pitbull.
It is the biggest room in the world. Room for improvement.
Do my best to block that out.
I think about that stuff when he comes on. Thanks to you guys, I think about that stuff. I'm like, man, I really shouldn't be listening to this, but I do.
There's nothing wrong with it. It gets you pumped up.
It does.
Fireball.
Yep. I say you're having a good time. We are, Pitbull. Yep.
Not really.
Half a mile ago.
This is what you should do.
Yep. Right here.
Awkward dancing.
He just said Scarface. If I would have called that he was said Scarface at the beginning of the song, I probably would have won $1 million. You say he's running through the world like a running back. I'd say that's fairly aggressive.
They repeat Zuga.
Zuga, Zuga. You're rhyming Zuga with Zuga.
Well, he rhymes Kodak with Kodak in that one song, which that might be unforgivable.
Only a genius can pull that off. So when you're in Miami, when do you take the run?
In the morning.
Just
first
to reflect?
When or why?
When?
First thing.
Is it just to reflect?
No, it's not that at all. It's I need to do it, and if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it's not going to happen. I don't enjoy running at all. It's just something that is necessity.
Because you've been told you will die?
Like, no, I just feel, I know I need it because I lead a rather sedentary lifestyle other than following my kids around to their separate events. So I need to run to make sure that I am in some semblance of shape.
Well, I took the children to the Bruins game on Saturday.
Oh, how'd that go?
You know, I led them around. We got to meet Torrey Krug.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and by the way, Torrey Krug said that DeBrusk, as we have theorized, is now it's part of what he superstitiously believes he has to do.
Oh, I mean, him thanking us as many times as he has says it all. I mean, it's not something he's brushing off. And whenever we mention on the air, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, there's no kind of hesitation or wink, nod, or anything like that. Like,
yeah. So DeBrusk believes that if he does not talk to us, that it's going to negatively affect his game.
Okay, well, then he's going to have to do it during the playoffs. Because I know that a lot of times a lot of times teams will cut off players from doing any kind of media during the playoffs.
Well, it won't
except
be.
Except for what's absolutely required after the game.
Right.
So I have a feeling in this case, DeBrusk might go, guys, if you don't mind, can I still continue to do this? And they got to let him.
Oh, if the Bruins are smart, they're like, all right, if he believes he's scoring goals because he's on with those guys, then he is.
And they all know about it because the Bruins are even tweeting about it.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever he scores after one of our interviews, it's happened about at least three times that I know of. The Bruins will be like, hey, add Touch and Rich. It's happening again.
Well, it's funny because Krug is like this moron things that go on the show is helping him out.
Oh, speaking of Torrey Krug, so you know like the back and forth that Brad Marchand and Torrey Krug have been doing on like Instagram and Twitter over the past couple months, right? They've just been ripping the hell out of each other. It's been awesome because no one does it better than Brad Marchand.
And both of them struggle in terms of height.
Well, that has been the joke is that Brad Marchand continues to rip on him that he's shorter than that Torrey Krug is shorter than Brad. And the other day, he posted this video that is, it's the scene from The Wizard of Oz where the Lollipop Guild comes out, and he put Torrey Krug's head on top of it, and it's brilliant. It's animated and everything. I don't know where he got it done, but it's great. Like, I mean, it might have been the haymaker that ended the fight. He's been phenomenal. And I'll pull him up later on, but the insults to Torrey Krug have been great. And Krug's got nothing. Krug comes back, and it's just like, all right, man, you might want to stay out of this one.
Well, he doesn't have the Photoshop abilities to put the face on the lollipop kicks.
It was great.
But yes, I've been told that indeed, DeBrusk believes that being on the show is some sort of good luck. And much to the chagrin of the rest of the organization, who thinks he's insane for thinking that. But listen, his gain is us having DeBrusk on the radio.
Definitely. And what better day to have him on than on Thursday? That would be nice.
Game one.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, baby.
Isn't that what do we have him on Thursdays or Wednesdays? Is it Thursdays usually? Thursdays? It's Tuesdays.
Yes.
Don't we usually have them on Tuesdays at 9:20?
Let's move it to Thursday then.
No, can't do that.
That would break up the routine
that would
there,
absolutely
Rich.
Absolutely break the routine. Has to be Tuesday at 9:20.
All right.
It has to be. I would imagine that's the case, is that when you have magical thinking and you think something like this is going to improve.
You got to stick with exactly the way it's been.
That's right. You got to stick with exactly what it's been all about. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up today?
Well, Celtics, they end up clinching home court. On top of that, hey, the Red Sox ended up winning.
Hey, what do you know? We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Whiskey, donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5 thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app. Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Today at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, thanks to a statement win on Friday night against the Pacers, it's now official. Celtics are going to face that same team with home court advantage the first round of the playoffs. For the most part, yesterday's 116-108 loss to Magic was a technicality for Boston, so the main objective was to finish the regular season without any injury. But, of course, it is never that easy.
Is Marcus down? Marcus is not involved in this play. Into the basket.
And Aaron Gordon ends up giving a foul. Marcus Smart now just getting up, and he's putting his left hand on his hip. And he's saying, I'm okay, but he's really gingerly walking back to the bench. Celtics have already had Jason Tatum lead this game. The absolute last thing you want in what has turned out to be a meaningless night.
Yeah, that was the, I think, first time Marcus went down. After a minute, he got back up, and then about a minute later goes back down writhing in pain without being touched. He was then carried off the court, only to miss the remainder of the game. Afterwards, Brad Stevens addressed the media concerning Marcus Smart's injury.
Smart said he was fine, said he was good to go back. Ran up the court once, ran back down the court, and obviously he felt like it was spasming on that second trip down the court. So, but obviously, you know, Art talked to him, and Smart said he was fine.
So an oblique contusion, that is what the team is saying regarding Marcus Smart. Now, according to Doc Flynn, who is the sports medicine doctor at Leahy, also contributor to NBC Sports Boston, she said that with a typical oblique contusion, or as we've learned recently, the term hip pointer. Who else had the hip pointer? Do you remember that? Like about a year ago, there was someone who had hip. I'd never heard of that until then.
It was a dog with glasses?
Well, he was totally super cool. Like, belonged in Brooklyn.
Dog with sunglasses?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. No, it wasn't sunglasses.
A hip pointer?
See, I thought you were thinking like the Weezer glasses.
No, I got it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hip. He should be in Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah, like a hip, like a dog that would be like a pointer.
Yeah, and he's
you would put glasses on him and he would be hip.
He's extremely hip. Well, the injury is painful, but you return quicker than a strain. The normal return time for one of those is 1 to 4 weeks, depending on the severity. Now, once again, we have not heard exactly anything from the doctors from the Celtics as to when it'll come back, but that is, of course, according to Doc Flynn, who watches these things on TV and then comments on Twitter. So on top of that, Jason Tatum left the game with a left shin contusion, and it actually occurred at some point prior to the game, and Brad Stevens said he was actually unaware of it happening.
It was never told to me as it was something that would keep him from playing. He did the whole shoot around this morning. He got warmed up. He did his whole workout. He felt great. I don't know, for whatever reason, when he jumped in the first quarter, he felt it. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and Tatum told the team's training staff that he felt a little off when he jumped. So, as you mentioned there, in the first quarter he left, he did not return. But as far as the postseason is concerned, Kyrie seems ready to roll.
Just play our game, be physical, do little things out there, you know, use our IQ on both ends of the floor. Just play together. Obviously, there are going to be some runs out there in the playoffs and, you know, high-level basketball. Guys are going to be making some incredible shots, and, you know, you just want to limit them to their tendencies and just play well.
So the regular season finale is tomorrow night against the Wizards, so expect Washington's best to be going against the Maine Red Claws. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. It's right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I don't know about you, John, but I think it was the second game of the Miami series where things just started to feel better. I was reading Chris Forsberg, and he kind of echoes what I've been feeling, and that is that we have been tricked and rope-a-doped so many times this season into thinking that maybe they've figured things out. This one just feels different.
Yeah, I would agree. And I was listening a little bit to Grandy and Max last night, and Grandy was saying, you know, all of us who work for the Celtics and, you know, cover the Celtics on a daily basis, we cringe because everyone has been asking us all season long, are they going to flip the switch? Are they going to flip the switch? And Grandy agreed. He's like, this looks like the switch has been flipped. They're playing much better basketball on both ends of the floor. And the 117-97 win on Saturday night was the one for me. The 117-97 win over the Indiana Pacers Friday night was the one for me, because that was a game they had to have, and they were dominant for about the last three quarters on the road against a team they needed to beat in order to get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And you're right, they look different. They look like a team that can finish. And I hope it carries over, because we all have been tricked numerous times. And more to the point of why Smart and Tatum were on the floor last night after the Celtics were pretty much locked into the four seed. Technically, they really didn't need to be out there. But Brad Stevens sees the need for this team to carry over performances from night to night as we move along right to the end of the season. And he wasn't going to play anyone on Wednesday night anyway. So I think he understands. He's seen this before as well.
Well, the other thing, too, that gives me a little bit of faith is that there have been two major changes over the last couple of weeks. Number one is the minute they started putting in Baines and Horford together in the starting lineup, yeah, everything changed defensively. I mean, you just look at that. I mean, they're able to make stops now, whereas they were getting run over. It was something that I don't know if it just took them this long to figure it out, or maybe almost Brad Stevens didn't want that much tape of the two of them out there.
And I'm
talking, if you're really trying to get, you know, crazy cerebral and give him like way too much credit. But
Baines has been hurt for the majority of the season. That's part of it.
He has, but now that the two of them are together, you're right. Everything has completely changed defensively, and it's a really good starting five. Unfortunately, two of the starting five are hurt. And then on the other side of things, the other reason that I have more faith than I have in these past couple times where they started playing well is Gordon Hayward. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Gordon Hayward is consistently scoring 15, 16 points a night, and he's doing it in the paint. I mean, the other night he was perfect. He was 9 for 9. And if you look at his shots, he's not resorting to that like mid-range jumper that he used to have to when he lost his confidence. He's getting in the paint, he's getting aggressive, and that's exactly what you need. And if you've got that kind of guy coming off your bench, plus you have this brand new starting five that is pretty damn good defensively, or at least a hell of a lot better than they were before they made that change, those two big things make me feel a lot more confident going into the postseason.
Putting Al Horford at power forward in front of instead of center makes all the difference in the world, because he's not a center. He's always been a power forward who likes to face up and shoot perimeter shots. So taking that interior responsibility away from him makes all the difference for him and frees him up to do other things. I think Brad Stevens is a little hesitant to put those two guys out there when both of them were healthy. I think it was matchup oriented. If the other team has two athletic bigs, now Aaron Baines, very good interior defender, but if you're asking him to consistently defend on the perimeter and handle switches to smaller guys, that's tough to do. But when you have Horford out there, it helps him as well.
Well, the series expected to start sometime this weekend. The Celtics won their series against the Pacers 3-1. I think that one loss, is that the only one they had Oladipo?
I actually did that game. It was in Indianapolis. Oladipo hit a three at the buzzer to beat them by one. Well, not a three at the buzzer, but a three with like 1 second left to beat them by one.
That was like November.
Yes.
Yeah.
Early November.
But did they win anything anytime they played Oladipo? I don't think they did. I think all three didn't have him.
The last two I know they didn't.
Either way.
I'm not sure about the first one.
Count it.
That's right.
But they should.
Even when it was Oladipo?
No.
No, that was a great game.
I didn't say that. I didn't say count it when Oladipo made the three.
What'd you say?
I said Oladipo for three and he made it. And the crowd drowned me out because it was in Indianapolis.
And then you just let the moment rest?
Correct.
But this is where you want to be, isn't it? Like, I would rather be.
Oh, I don't want
the four seed than if you almost anywhere.
If you somehow managed to pass Philadelphia, and that was a long shot anyway, because Philadelphia, I think, has an easy final game of the season. But if you somehow made it to the three seed, you are more than likely going to have to play the team you played last night, who is playing very, very well at this point.
Because let's just...
Indiana is dropping like a rock. They have not played well the last 2 months. And the fact that they don't have Oladipo has finally caught up to them. I mean, they're a good team, but I would rather play Indiana in the first round than just about anybody else at this point.
Well, I'd rather be right where you are. I mean, I think it's perfect because if they, I mean, they're going to beat Indiana. I mean, more than likely they're going to beat Indiana. But then if, let's say, the top four seeds just beat out the bottom, you know, four seeds, then you're going up against the Bucks. And I'd rather play the Bucks than Toronto.
Now, Milwaukee is playing exceptionally well, but I would much rather face Milwaukee in the second round than Toronto.
I would too.
Toronto is a completely different animal. And I think if you ask the Celtics, they are much happier to play Milwaukee in the second round than they would be Toronto.
So it's kind of funny saying that the seeding is advantageous when you look at the record of Milwaukee. But I've felt good about the matchups they've had against them this season. And also, who's that who went down with the Bucks? A couple weeks ago?
Oh, it was Brogdon.
Yeah, Brogdon. So he's down, which obviously helps. Right where they're at, it's funny because there was a chance that they could end up being the three seed, and I was like, ugh.
No, I don't want any part of Toronto.
Nope. So this works out pretty perfectly. So there you go. The
count it.
Postseason, more than likely looking to start sometime this weekend. I know that the Bruins have an 8 o'clock game on Saturday, so if it was to be on Saturday,
early call, the early call, as I understand it, is Sunday. Everything's subject to change. It depends on which teams make the final, how they line up 6, 7, 8 in the East. But the early call, and of course it is subject to change, is Sunday.
And speaking of the Bruins, their schedule has been released. Game 1, Thursday night, the TD Garden. That is going to be at 7 p.m., and then, as we just mentioned, an 8 o'clock Saturday evening game. I was kind of hoping for the matinee there. I'm a big fan of the matinee games.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey Night in Canada. That's the reason that they've got it at 8 p.m. Game 3 will be going out to the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
I'm excited about that because we see all those morons wearing scarves outside on the plaza there, outside the Air Canada Center. Always a lot of fun to watch. And morons and scarves watching the big screen.
They don't hesitate showing that camera. I mean, how many thousands of people show up? Mouth agape.
What do you want to do, Phyllis? Well, let's stand outside. Instead of inside at a bar or inside, you know, on the big screen with our own food, let's stand outside with 5,000 people where it's really uncomfortable.
I just love it because it's hockey every other night.
Dan makes a good point. How many people went to a pep rally for the Patriots? Do not cast stones.
Well, was it? They all had a chance to go home after an hour. They didn't have to stand out there for 3 hours.
No, they went.
All the Patriots did was go up on stage and talk and throw Scott Zolak a microphone that he didn't catch. And like Dan said, 35,000 was what I'm saying. The 35,000. That sounds high, but that might have been how many people showed up.
And that was for a Super Bowl trip. That wasn't the first round of the playoffs.
At least they had something to watch instead of just going to Gillette and staring at guys on stage.
And for a trip to the Super Bowl to send their team off, that's a little different than watching it on TV.
There's no room to talk.
It's worse.
It is worse because it's not a game. They're not watching a game. They're just watching these guys up there.
I would rather go to a Super Bowl pep rally than stand outside and watch TV outside the building that the game's actually being played in.
They went out there to see 20 minutes of Patriots and an hour of Fitzy. Well, I would say that this is a little bit different.
I would have stayed for the hour of Fitzy. You know,
well, I'm not knocking Fitzy. I'm just saying that it was just, at least those people in Toronto are invested in watching a game.
That's true.
On television.
At
least there's a game going.
It's a Super Bowl trip, as opposed to a first-round game on television outside the building.
John has a fondness for pep rallies because it reminds him of the glory days of playing the clarinet. And letting everyone know what's
everyone
going
came
on.
To watch, man, for my Benny Goodman solo.
But I'll give you this. Anytime that you see just like dreams crushed in front of a giant crowd of people.
Oh, that's fun.
It's pretty funny.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, there's probably none funnier than when the Patriots lost, or not the Patriots, the Celtics rather, ended up losing their supposed number one pick to go to number five and lose out on Greg Oden.
It was great.
And they showed that one guy wearing the Celtics Oden jersey.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah. That might be the all-time let's show the crowd too. Reaction.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, well, we are going to try to get to Mr. Jay Stu on the line, who is on the way back from WrestleMania Glory last night.
All right, he was in the crowd at several times. I was sent that picture.
That was from Friday night. That was not WrestleMania. He was there, but ringside? You think that guy's got ringside pull at the real WrestleMania?
I did. Absolutely did.
Not Jay Stu.
You don't think the Wong father has that kind of potential?
Because there's a bigger Wong father in New York.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh. All right. I mean, wow. I don't care how big you are, man. You ain't getting ringside to the real WrestleMania.
All right. We'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ronda Rousey up.
The power of the queen is unmatched in this matchup.
And Ronda.
Oh, no.
That is. Oh, no. Oh.
Rousey's got a double. Double.
Becky got free.
And meanwhile, now punishing. And Becky right to Rousey. Flops her off the apron to the floor.
Right on her head.
Ronda Rousey hit hard.
98.5.
Without the visual, that sounded...
What the hell was going on?
Pretty fantastic.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. If you want to see Becky Lynch shamelessly flirt with me, you can go to my Instagram at Fred Toucher.
World champion, Becky Lynch. By the way,
I don't even know. I don't think she'd flirt with me anymore, but she's gotten too famous, unfortunately. But there was a time where she shamelessly flirted with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were watching wrestling, apparently, that happened before WrestleMania, you saw a familiar face in the crowd right there at ringside. Man by the name of Jimmy Stewart. Mr. Stewart, hello.
Hi, your resident prima donna is here for your services.
All right. All right, so when did you... I know you have a young child at home. When were you able to head down to New York?
I went down Friday morning. I left here about 9 o'clock. I got there around 1 o'clock or so.
What was the thing you were at Friday night?
NXT, which is their third brand/developmental system. They have a performance center down in Orlando, and they run shows where they essentially scoop up all the indie stars, transition them to WWE stars, and they do shows usually around the big pay-per-views. So WrestleMania, they'll do an NXT takeover, and that was the show I was at Friday.
They're the G League, right, of the wrestling world?
They would be the third brand of WWE.
Something. Oh, okay.
Stupid. So, you were ringside. Was that a solo performance by you? Was everyone else somewhere else?
Yes. I think Andy and Mike were somewhere in like a corporate suite or something like that.
You won't call him Sarge, will you?
Mike Riley, no.
Okay. Because you like Mike Riley, but not Sarge.
Yes, I love Mike Riley. The other person, I'm kind of over his act.
Okay. Because there was...
Because what happened... Because, you know, that leads me to, like, what happened with Elias? Because we had Elias in studio, and that morning was strange, because you came and you recorded an interview, but apparently Sarge was on his way to come to the interview. I've heard mixed stories
after
about...
After being here and leaving.
Yeah, he was here earlier. So what happened that morning?
I didn't tell him Elias was coming, because I didn't think he was worthy of walking with Elias.
So you did not want him part of the interview?
Nope, not at all.
Why? No, he's part of the podcast, so why is that?
Matter of fact.
Why is that?
It's my podcast and my podcast alone. He needed a lesson to be taught to him.
So you feel he's overstepped his bounds a bit.
I know. I have to be honest. I love the fact that you're just like, I don't care. This is how I feel. I'm not going to sugarcoat this.
I don't even care if this is a work. This is awesome.
Why is he not worthy to be a part of that interview? Why do you think he was not worthy?
I don't know why.
So in high school, you know how there was the girl who was like the nine, and then there's the girl who hung out. So the girl who's the nine hangs out with the girl who's like a two. So I'm the girl who's a nine. Mike Riley is the girl who's the two. It just makes me so much better.
Okay, all right. So having him around makes you sound better on the podcast, but you don't want to embarrass 100%. Yourself. Okay, you don't want to embarrass your show in front of Elias because he's a legit star, correct?
Yes, it is 100% my obnoxious ego that wouldn't let Mike Riley into the podcast with Elias.
Okay, and you guys also there at the big WWE thing that was in town, there was a little bit of an issue between you guys there too as well, right?
Oh yeah, I was leaving the suite and I said hello Nick, slammed the door behind me and went left.
All right, and why did you do that to poor Nick?
Because I'm socially awkward.
That had nothing to do with you not wanting Nick to say hello to everyone. That was just because you didn't think about what you were doing at the time?
It was more Nick wasn't worthy of being in the Kowloon suite either.
Now there's that too. Why was Nick not worthy?
Because Nick is an untrustworthy person.
What has he done to blow your trust?
He has been overly gossipy and incorrect so in his gossip. And also I presume that he's recording everything at all time, and in some way he wants to use that against me or against somebody else who's in the vicinity at all time.
Okay. Well, he's not allowed to do that.
Yeah, he can't do that.
I know it's illegal, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he won't hear something, record something, and then play it back just amongst a group of people.
I will tell you this, Nick, in all honesty, you know, Nick has gone to the Kowloon booth and talked to you guys before, but nothing he's ever recorded, or at least given me, has been something that didn't start with, hey, can I use this for the radio? Like, I mean, he tells everyone that he's recording before he does. And on top of that, he said that there's been some people that didn't want to go on the radio, and he's respected their wishes.
Yeah, but Jimmy says that he tapes things and maybe doesn't give it to us. He just uses it to gossip around the office.
That is what I have been told.
By who?
Probably Mike Riley.
No, I mean, I would like to know that, because if he's not sharing it with us, then who's he sharing it with?
That is not necessarily for me to say.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
All right.
There's so many levels.
Now, Jimmy Stewart, I will stand by Nick on this, because that's completely out of character to do something like that.
I agree.
Now, I do understand you guys saying,
I am a man of forgiveness, so okay. I can
well,
allow.
There you go.
Okay, good. I do want to know this, though. Were you at the Hall of Fame ceremony?
I was not. I was at Madison Square Garden, where they had a show for Ring of Honor in New Japan, because my friend Matt Taven was challenging for their world championship in the main event. So I was not at the WWE Hall of Fame.
Fred, did you see the Bret the Hitman Hart get tackled by that dude?
That was not a work, Jimmy?
Oh, no. I saw the Bret Hart video. He was tackled by a fan, and a bunch of wrestlers who were sitting around the ring jumped on this guy. And if you search it on Google, like Bret Hart tackler, you'll find that the wrestlers beat him up pretty good.
Yeah.
And he also got charged with a bunch of different things, like trespassing, misdemeanors, all that.
Dude, Travis Brown, who's an MMA guy, who's either married or dating Ronda Rousey, I forget what the relationship is.
They're married.
Beat the snot out of him. Like, this was not a work. And then there was another wrestler, I forget what his name was. He's got a funny name, like Fancy Pants or something. Like, they were walking off.
So it was a member of the Revival, and I'm not sure which name it is, but it was one of the members of a tag team called the Revival who just bloodied this guy.
Oh, he went like one of these like fists right to the chin while they're carrying him out. They're carrying him out almost like Superman, and the guy's standing right next to his head and just does this uppercut right to his chin while he's lying there being carried out. I mean, yeah, this was definitely not a work.
There's a code amongst the wrestlers where if a fan gets in the ring and he does something that could compromise the business, they will just beat the bag out of the guy.
And they did. And they did.
If you find this mugshot, if I get a chance, I'll find it. I'll send it to you guys. But yeah, they beat him up pretty good. They rearranged his face.
They went into this guy's like Twitter history too, and he's like
they
a
put
whack
his
job.
Nose where his eye is supposed to be. That's how bad this beating was.
Yeah, they killed him. Okay, so apparently yesterday was a massive success. However, many people originally, like almost halfway through it, were saying this might end up being the best WrestleMania ever. And then you hear that apparently the Becky Lynch match was not very good. They liked that she won, but apparently it was, did they screw up the ending or what happened?
So I think that the ending was for storyline purposes. I don't think it was screwed up because you have to have, pretty much WrestleMania matches had pretty straightforward endings to most of their, if not all of their matches. So for WWE, they needed some sort of ending that somebody would talk about. So the fans who came there to see Becky win both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships, they got that. The people who came to see Charlotte Flair got a spectacular entrance and a spectacular performance by who I think Vince McMahon is promoting as the greatest female wrestler of all time.
No Gronk. That was the one thing. Like, where's Rob Gronkowski? Everyone said he was going to show up for this thing.
Probably they're trying to wait for a different spot, or they just didn't want to put him in that WrestleMania. As far as Ronda Rousey goes, for the storyline purposes of, she was unbeaten going into last night's match. So if she is indeed leaving to go plan a family with her husband, then she needs something to come back to. And if her shoulders weren't down during the finish of the match, she can claim that she was never properly beaten and there was a referee mistake.
Now, James Stewart,
that's where you have all three having stories progressing after WrestleMania.
Now, James Stewart, do you believe that Becky Lynch was flirting with me in studio?
100%. In fact, she said to say hello to you, Fred.
That's not true.
You talked to her?
I talked to her on Saturday morning. I saw her.
And she you didn't say anything. She just said, tell Fred to say hello.
I went up to her. I said, hi, I'm so happy for your success. And she goes, oh, you're from the radio station in Boston, right? I go, yes, I'm James. She goes, yeah, I love Fred Toucher. I miss biting my lip at him.
I believe that. Absolutely. How exciting.
I think that. But real quick, Nick, what do you have to say about James does not trust you?
I just don't understand the idea that I'm recording, not sending it to you guys, but playing it back to other people just to be like gossiping around, which is not true. I would never do that.
Okay, I've been told otherwise.
By who?
That's okay.
He won't say. He doesn't want to divulge.
I will not say. I will not give up my sources in this instance.
All right. Well, it seems that I believe James Stewart. I think Nick is out to no good.
Nick, if you'd like, I can pull you into a side room and you can yell at me all you want.
I've seen this act before.
Yeah, Nick, now that he's doing the schedule, you can just start screaming at him.
All right, well, James Stewart, I hope you had a wonderful time.
I had an absolute blast this weekend.
Good, and there's no splinter within the Calhoun crew anymore?
Oh, God, no. And if there is a splinter, it's all caused by me and my selfishness.
Okay. All right. Well, James Stewart, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, see you, man.
We appreciate it. Becky Lynch, of course, just offering that information out to James Stewart. Very exciting.
I had heard that was the case. J. Stu likes Mike Riley, hates Sarge.
No, I know for
his
a
alter
fact
ego.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I know for a fact that's
yeah,
true.
We'd been hearing that for a while, and hearing him just confirm that is everything. So, but how does Mike Riley turn that off? Like, it sounds like he's almost stuck in it. It's like somebody's imitated a character for so
that
long.
Out for a while, we're not really sure.
Yep. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Look at that. The Sox actually won something.
There's a high fly ball in the right field, driving back Jones. All the way to the wall. He's there leaping up. He can't get it. That ball is gone. Mitch Moreland with a home run, and the Red Sox are at last on the board with a solo shot in the seventh.
Such sarcastic clapping. That is Nesson, and who would have thought that 11 games in, Hector Velasquez would have given the Sox their best starting pitching performance so far. The Sox win 1-0 over Arizona. Cora got three good innings out of Velasquez and then trusted four relievers to throw six innings.
Two down to 2-2, and he struck him out. A good changeup, too. This is the best start of the year by a member of the Boston Red Sox.
Yes, it is. No joke at all. Fesker Velasquez earned, he had just one hit, no walks while striking out three. And then, as you heard in the first clip, Mitch Moreland hit a solo homer in the seventh inning, and that was that. Here is Alex Cora after the game.
It's a good win, and now we're going on that plane. It's a good, happy flight. Like I said, enjoy the families, and on Tuesday, enjoy the day and be ready to play.
It is a true party when you're 3-8. They're heading home for tomorrow's big home opener, in which they'll receive their rings and celebrate two championships. Because members of the Patriots are going to be involved as well. Two players confirming that they'll be in attendance tomorrow are both Rob Gronkowski and Stephon Gilmore. And, you know, I heard a lot of talk this weekend about whether the Sox would be booed because of their poor start. First of all, I think yesterday's win softens that blow a little bit. It might have been a little bit different if they would have lost yesterday as well.
No, I don't think it matters.
Also,
2-9, 3-8. I don't think it matters.
Well, first of all, I don't think they're going to get booed. But the difference in cheering between the Red Sox and when the Patriots come on the field tomorrow is going to be deafening. I mean, people are going to go crazy when Rob Gronkowski and probably Tom Brady go on the field. And then when the Red Sox get their ring, it's going to be applause, but it's not going to be with the Patriots.
A lot of pressure on the poet laureate.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I mean, I got to wonder. I mean, are they going to roll him out there? When they sound the horns? They didn't have him last year.
No, they did not.
Because remember, like, we were looking for, it's like, oh, here we go. You're going to have, what's the guy's name again?
Dick Flavin.
Dick Flavin. You're going to have Dick Flavin get out there and read us some poetry. But I think once he got in the box and completely botched his opening day poem a couple years ago, that might have been it.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes on and on and on. Whatever. Well, another thing to cheer for, get ready, because according to reports, all signs that Dustin Pedroia is going to be activated for tomorrow's opener. Oh, yeah.
Two sacks out there just saying, what do you want out of me?
Although, to be honest, right now, I'll take anything to shake up the malaise the team has been suffering. Who knows? Maybe the little leader is the guy. Maybe he can get out there and show the world how it's done.
Okay. No, he's not.
John, your opinion of the last several games?
They've been horrible. They've sucked. They're not good. Not right now, anyway. They've far and away the worst starting rotation in the majors by about a run and a half. Bullpen's been good against all odds. The bullpen's been good. I like Brazier. I like Barnes. I like Brewer. They've been fun. They have to get something better. Once again, Chris Sale pitches tomorrow. I am fascinated to see what he lights up on the radar gun. He was sitting 88, 89, 90 in start two after sitting about 91, 92 in start one. I'm very curious to see how he pitches. And I'm not saying he can't figure it out. He pitched actually pretty well his second start, despite not lighting up the radar gun. But this is a changeover. You saw it happen to Verlander for a while before he refound his fastball. Kershaw's going through it right now out in L.A. You saw that during the World Series. Kershaw used to be able to throw the ball by people. He can't do that anymore. Sale, it looks like, can't throw the ball by anyone anymore. He's got to relearn how to pitch. And it's part of the process. And how Chris Sale goes, that's how this Red Sox team is going to go, I think, ultimately. So if he goes out there and gives them six innings and gives up one run and five hits, then fine. He's learned how to do it, and things are looking up. The plus thing for the Red Sox is they're facing a team just as bad as they are tomorrow.
Dick Flavin, what say you?
Yeah, it's great to have with us a Red Sox poet laureate. Dick Flavin, great to see you, Dick.
Good to be aboard. Good to be aboard.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten, blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal, it's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire is dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
I can tell you that he has written another poem on DickFlavin.com.
Will we get a return?
April 1st, 1 week ago, he waxed nostalgic on the takeout slide that Machado and Pedroia came together on a couple of years ago.
And, how timely.
Yes, I know. And the last line is, as for Manny Machado, he's a gifted player with a more natural talent than Pedroia ever had, but he'll never be half the player that Pedroia has been.
Well, that is not true at all. So, but I just like that the budding of the trees come here in early April. I mean, it's really...
I see leaves. I don't know what your problem is.
Fine. What, are you on acid?
Fine.
Where did you see leaves?
I see a leaf right over there.
Well,
a green leaf?
There, well, no.
In Brookline.
Not yet.
The line was down the street. No.
I get it.
Oh.
All right. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.